cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KUCO. Boy, oh boy, do we have a room full of people here and a show for you today. But right now, the weather is currently 58 degrees, humidity's 35, the wind's out of southwest at 11, gusting to 14 miles an hour. And today, live in the studio, I have a big crew here. First of all, I have Jancy Ripito, her grandpa, Gary Ripito, and then there's Chad. Jancy's dad, Chad Ripito, in here, and I got Marcus Thibodeau, my favorite person from the French Quarters, and also from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department, I have Darren Hill in here. He is the information and education specialist for the Wildlife Department. Did I get that right, Darren? He does all the production. He's the producer of Outdoor Oklahoma, or I think he is anyway. But we got three generations of agriculture and outdoor enthusiasts, hunters, in here with us, and that's what our show's about today. And there's going to be some great things on the show today. And Jancy, thanks for coming back in. If you guys don't remember, she's my partner in crime on the radio station. She's really good. She's a junior.
Yes.
At Merritt High School. And how's things going with you?
It's going really good. How about yourself?
I'm going good. I'm just excited. I got three you guys in here. The Ripitos. It's the most common name in America. And if you don't believe me, ask Joey Ripito when you get some Coors Light in. It's the most common name in America. So, anyway, I've been around the Ripito family for the last 10 years or so, and I'm blessed to be around them. And Marcus, this is quite a deal you put on.
I try.
You try?
Thibodeau's not quite as common as Ripito, but it might be a close second.
Well, Thibodeau, you know what I really want to say, and I always say French Quarters. So, anyway, so tell us what you guys started doing here a while back.
So, we started doing, we do the Outdoor Oklahoma TV show, you know, to educate people on what's going on with the department and just to be an ambassador for the outdoors. And what better way to tell the story of the white-tailed deer in western Oklahoma than to have Jancy go out and shoot a big buck.
Right.
Not to ruin the show for everybody when it comes out, but something that we've been blessed with. It started off, you know, the history of the white-tailed deer in western Oklahoma used to be a rarity on the landscape, used to be almost non-existent. And then through habitat management and restoration, it's developed now to where it's almost a problem, or it is a problem for farmers. And so this Ripito family, we got three generations of seeing the history of this play out from being a rarity on the landscape to being, a pretty cool thing that wasn't an issue, to where now Jancy's inheriting kind of a something that she's going to have to plan into farming and ranching.
Deal with.
Yeah. Is brand new, you know, with all the other brand new issues of technology with equipment and fuel prices and things like that that go on top of the old problems that you're always going to have, having those farming and ranching deals and making the best out of a bad situation. I'll let them talk about it, but, you know, people look at this crop depredation and see it as a huge problem, and this family saw it as an opportunity to introduce kids to hunting and get them on deer, and got to hunt today. So it's just a great story, and I'll let them tell it because it's their story. But seeing it, I just wanted to get Outdoor Oklahoma involved and let them tell it. So
right. Yeah, it's a great story. Like I said, we have three generations in here. Let's start with Chad. And Chad, you've been doing a lot of good for bringing kids out that probably you never would get to hunt. And with the help of the outdoor or Oklahoma Wildlife Department, how'd that get started?
I don't remember who the first one was that called me. I guess it was 2.5 years ago, and they asked, you know, if we'd be willing to participate in. It's a youth draw deal. It's basically kids that don't have, are not fortunate enough to have the land that we have put together. And we kicked it around. I said, yeah, sure. You know, and with the first group that came, I mean, it was a big deal. This is the second year we've done it. First group, I think there was like 6 or 8 kids. We wasn't supposed to have but 4, and there was some miscommunications. So we hustled, put tent blinds up, kind of accommodated them. And it's just turned in really, it's the best part of it is seeing these kids and the smile on their face, you know, when they of course it's antlers hunt, but these kids just love it. You know, there was a kid that come back for the second time this year, and they're like, hey, I want to go hunt this stand because I know I'm going to see does there. And I'm going to say amongst what me and my dad have there where we've let them hunt, in the last 2 years, we've probably harvested 80 to 100, maybe does. And this will be the last group today and tomorrow. I believe Darren said there would be 6, maybe have 3 show up, maybe an extra. So we always accommodate. If little sister shows up, we're going to make sure that she's got a blind to go get in with mom or dad or, you know, whoever, Jancy. If she wasn't going to be gone this evening, she'd probably take one of them. But we just want to accommodate them kids and let them enjoy what we get to enjoy.
Great. Well, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I'm Jimmy Clark, and I'm talking to Jancy Ripto, Gary Ripto, Chad Ripto, and Marcus Thibodeau, my favorite French Quarters guy. And anyway, we're talking about the generations of agriculture mixed with hunting. And when we get back right after this break, we're going to the old man, we're going to Gary, and we're going to see what things he's seen change since when he was hunting at Chad's age to what it is, or even to Jancy's age, what has changed from then to now. So we'll be right back after this.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years. Since the inception of the breed. My 2 kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We're back. This is going to be a fun show today, I can already tell. 58 degrees, winds out of southwest at 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 20. And I have the Ripto family in here. Jancy, her dad, Chad, her grandpa, Gary. I have Marcus Thibodeau in here, and Darren Heel's over there filming this, probably wishing he was somewhere else today. But anyway, we're going to have some fun with this today. But let's start with Gary, the pink mic. And then, Gary, what have you seen change since you were Chancey's age in the quality of deer hunting, the amount of deer that's around now, and what do you think about it nowadays?
Well, when I was younger, a little younger than Jancy, the first deer we ever encountered really that mounted anything was my uncle had gone to the wildlife refuge at Lawton and had found a little baby fawn and brought it to our house, and we raised it. And it was just gentle. He could come in the house and play with you. And one morning there in November, we were in the back living room there and looked out the window, and we'd never seen a buck deer in our life, you know, in this area. And we looked out in the backyard, and a buck had followed that doe to the house, right in our yard. And that was really, if you seen a deer back in those days, I don't know, you're talking 53 or 54 or 55 years ago, or longer than that, 60, yeah. Close to 60, yeah, at least 60, but anyway, it was a very, very rare. Once in a great while, you'd see one going to town in the Alva Shenery, but that's it. And now, you know, every corner you turn, there's a deer or 50 or 100 on your field, so it's changed drastically. So.
Oh, yeah, between your house and mine the other night, I seen 500.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing to see, you know, at least 50. So, but, and, you know, they're bigger. They grew, the horns grow. I mean, people, I guess, are feeding them better and stuff. And we got better crops and more of them. And they've just grown drastically in amount of horns and size and everything. So,
well, you brought an article in. Was that from the Elk City?
It's Sayre.
Oh, it's Sayre paper? You brought an article in here. And it shows you that was 1993. And you're standing there by a buck you'd killed, a nine pointer. And it field dressed 225, and you really don't know what it was because that's as high as the scales would go. And that was weighed in the next morning, I guess, yeah, at the check station. That's a monster.
Yeah, it was a big, big deer. It was the biggest one ever killed in Beckham County, they said, at that time. You know, of course, right, it's not that now, probably. But the scales bottomed out at 225, and we never did get the weight of it, and it hung all night, so it was probably no telling what it would have really weighed. It was big, but
right,
it's a very healthy deer. But nowadays, I'm sure there's bigger than that.
Hey, Jimmy, ask him what gun he used to shoot that deer with.
What gun did you shoot that with, Gary?
I think it was
his old Mauser.
My old 7mm Mauser.
7mm Mauser.
Army issue.
It won't shoot. It'll shoot left, right, 3 feet each time.
The barrel's probably been on it.
Well, I run over it with the fell down, and I backed over it with the pickup. That's exactly what happened. Jerry Newman, the gunsmith at Carter's, supposed to fix it for me, and he's working on it, believe me.
You. How long has it been there?
Oh, about not too long for Jerry. Not bad. He's had more than
I know.
Cars.
He's
working on it.
He'll do anything in the world for you, because I just wanted to give him a hand.
When I was a kid, that was the only rifle in the house. When I was a little kid, that's right, the only rifle we had, period.
I'm just fixing it so I can have it. You know, he's fixing the scope deal, and I had a guy work on it and run the bolt on it, and Jerry's fixing it for me.
I got you. So I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you about it. So how is the deer population multiplying like it does? How has it affected your farming?
Well, everybody knows that when you get 100 or 150 on a 20-acre alfalfa field, you know what happens. If what they don't eat, where they make a new bed every night, you can't pick it up with a swather. But it's the population is... Well, it's just got plumb out of hand, and this doe deal helped. But, you know, the high fences has hurt the ones that don't have the high fences. But
right,
that's helped a lot of people, all right.
Yep.
But the population is just I don't know how we're going to get it under control, really.
Yeah, yeah, because it's affecting me across the river from you guys.
Yeah.
And when I first started farming on Bruce's, there was 20 or 30 deer on that quarter section. Now there's 250 over there. And we put a pretty good dent in the does last winter with the tags the wildlife department provides and everything. But come spring, when they have babies again, we're back to where we started from.
Exactly. And like I say, the way that we have the protein to feed around on the peanuts and alfalfa and stuff, most of them have twins, you know, and some of them have three.
Yep.
It's just like, you just multiply.
Yeah, well, and if you look at the records back in the 50s, 60s, there'd be maybe 10 deer checked in for the whole county. Now's a big year, and Jancy's got the current harvest from October 1st to today.
Jancy, read that harvest report off for us.
Okay. As of right now in Beckham County, there's 1,250 deer checked in. In Ellis County, 837. Greer County, 612. Roger Mills, 1,427. On your wildlife management areas, Black Kettle, 285. Ellis County, WMA, I think is what that says,
yep.
48. Pack Saddle, 76. And Sandy Sanders is 35, and statewide total is 105,825.
Is that down or up or about right?
I imagine it's probably a little bit down. Opening seasons have been horrible weather, especially out west. You know, full moon, hot, and then hunter numbers. When we do our surveys, opening day, they've been a little bit down, and with us opening up more opportunities across the state, we're not sure if that's just people having closer to home opportunities or just, you know, with everything else going on in the world, price of gas, cost of everything, and COVID, if people are just choosing to...
Finding bullets for their rifle.
Yeah, shortages on everything. Not sure what's the factor, probably a little bit of everything, but, you know, we still have the holiday doe season. It's kicking off Saturday.
Yeah, it's this Saturday.
There's still some bow hunting left, so those numbers are hopefully going to go up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was warm this year, but, you know, I think it's kind of unusual that Beckham County is higher than Ellis County nowadays.
They're pretty close, but with more people in Beckham County getting doe-minded
right.
to shoot does, I think that's where it's going to be.
Yep.
So that article he brought in 93, Jancy's fixing to read it. It's got the harvest report. You know, that's when we had Elk City Fire Department as a check station, Keithley Corner, and it's got them all split out there. It's just a short paragraph, and I think it's pretty interesting.
Read that for us, Jancy.
Okay. In 1993, at the Hunter Check Station at Sweetwater, Keithley Corner checked 95 deer, according to Oklahoma Wildlife Department official Gerald Imes. 3 were taken by bow, 9 by black powder, and 83 during gun season. The Hunter Check Station in Elk City, the city fire department, told the record they tagged 104 deer. Their deer ranged in size from 45 pounds to 188 pounds. Elk City checked more deer in archery season with 11, while 7 were checked in primitive season and 87 in gun season.
That's quite a change.
Yeah.
That's a big change. Well, they, I know back in the 80s, does away from the North Fork Red River of the Red River was, you know, you didn't even think about shooting those does, and there was no, because they were a rarity, and now it's just crazy.
Well, and even when we had the drought in, you know, 2010 and stuff like that, deer populations took a dive, and so that management of restricting some of the doe harvest and things like that, it took place, and we've bounced back from that. Because, you know, with good management, if you can continue that over the long term, you're going to see the results of it. Unfortunately for people farming, you know, they're kind of taking a beating on good management. But so we're evolving it, right? We're making the best out of a bad situation. Like Chad has said, you know, it's starting to help. And so it's just going to take consistently doing it and getting more people involved in doing it.
Time. Well, Jancy, when we get back after this break, we're going to start with you and tell us some stories that you and Darren discussed while you guys were filming your outdoor show. You want to?
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and I have Jancy, Gary, and Chad Ripito and Marcus Thibodeau in here. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 10th. 1,715 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 357, brought 229. 4 at 541, brought 158. 9 at 628, brought 144. 6 at 664, brought 142. 10 at 749, brought 151. 13 at 983, brought 142.50. 10 head of heifers at 349, brought 159. 4 at 440, brought 138. 6 at 535, brought 141.50. 12 at 608, brought 132.50. 7 at 697, brought 136. 17 at 1046, brought 122.25. Butcher cows were 10 to 84. Bred cows, 600 to 1470. Butcher bulls, 35 to 94. Pairs brought 1150 to 1625. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Current temperatures, 58 degrees still. Winds are out of the southwest at 9 miles an hour, and the wind gusts are up to 12 miles an hour. In the studio with me today is Jancy, Chad, and Gary Ripito, farmers, ag-related people from down around Willow Carter Way, and then there's Marcus Thibodeau in here. He's from Louisiana, but he's hanging out up there at Pack Saddle nowadays. He actually... He married a good woman, so finally maybe he'll just stay here and get some sense about him. But anyway, we're talking about deer hunting, actually just hunting, but mainly deer hunting, and how deer hunting has affected the deer population has affected farming and the way you farm it and what's going on. But you know, there's from just talking to him right here, there's a lot more good come out of it than bad. Yes, there's damage being done to the crops, but by management and some other things, hopefully we'll get it all under control one of these days. But Jancy, it's time to get to you finally.
Yay.
Yay. She's my partner in crime on the Ag Show sometimes. So anyway, we have a good time. So how'd this hunt come about? How'd this show come about? What happened?
Well, I think... from what Dad told me, Marcus actually heard me on the show with you, and somebody ended up contacting Dad and asking if I would be interested in hunting on the show Outdoor Oklahoma with Darren. So that's really how this whole thing started.
Oh, well, good. Thanks, Marcus. Glad you're a true listener.
Loyal listener.
You like Tradio better than you like my show.
Drew was kind of worried I'd steal his job on Tradio.
So, anyway, last week, Marcus had a workshop going on up there at Pack Saddle with, you had people from the Wildlife Department out there. And anyway, he texted me while I was doing Tradio when Drew had his back surgery. Hey, give us a shout out. And what did they say?
Everybody loved it. They loved hearing the Tradio and getting a little shout out.
And I haven't been back on Tradio since I did that. Yeah.
It's my fault.
I know. It's your fault. Jancy, so tell us how it started. What happened?
The first day, Darren and Marcus came the day before opening day, and we went out.
Rifle season,
yes. Yep. And we went out, and they filmed me, like, filling the feeder, cleaning up the stand, and really just preparing to go hunting the next morning.
Right.
I woke up at, I think, 4:45, opening morning of rifle season, so we were in the stand before daylight, And that's really how it started that morning.
We're going to back up here because we're going to throw Marcus under the bus. So we take her down to shoot her gun. She hadn't shot her gun in a year. And we go south of Gary's house. Of course, we take two electric fence posts, put a corn sack up, target up. She lays down on the back of the pickup. And as I went back down there, it was about 110 yards. And she put three of them within a dime. And Marcus said there wasn't no way he'd shoot rifles with her. He'd shoot shotguns with her, but he wouldn't shoot rifles with her. So we're gonna get a jab in on Marcus while we get a chance.
That's the truth. I tell you right now.
Yeah, I can tell you're telling the truth. But anyway, so did Darren go hang around with you and do any chores or anything? Because I know you got all those hogs in the barn. And I'm sure your dad goes and makes you feed cattle and stuff.
Yeah. Well, Dad ended up picking us up from that morning hunt because I didn't kill anything, and he took us to eat at the Carter Cafe, and we ended up going home, and I went to the pig barn and worked hogs, and then we got back in the pickup and went and hunted that evening.
From the truck?
Yes.
No.
What? You confused me.
No, I'm just messing with you.
Marcus, he... Of course, we was all full, which I went home and went back to bed got in my chair after I dropped him off that morning. But Marcus did. He hung around the house while it was not hunting time, and he got some footage of her, you know, working her pigs. And I think there'll be a lot of people that will learn from that what goes on. It's not just get up and go hunting. There's other things we do every day.
Every day.
There's chores before play.
Yep. Yeah, you got chores before and after play.
Mm-hmm.
And then... because you sent me a picture of the deer when you got it, and I was excited for you, and I got to go over to Joey and Kelly's and see the deer, and I was totally excited. Matter of fact, that whole barn was full of big bucks, and I shot one. I didn't even tell nobody.
I didn't even know you had killed a deer until I went to leave, Jimmy.
I know. It was on the back of my truck. I was, like, ashamed. Like, well, they don't want to see my deer. So, but there's that. But... there was a liner that I don't remember if it was you or you telling me that. No, it was you. So anyway, what was the line that Darren asked you about? Do you feed cattle with your dad? What do you do when you go feed cattle with your dad?
Oh, I open the gate.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the heck, Chad?
The shoe fits, wear it.
So anyway, so you got your deer, but tell us about some of the what you and Darren were talking about when you was hunting, why you was hunting. How's that?
Why we were hunting?
Yeah, while you were hunting.
Oh, while we were hunting. Well,
yeah, Jim Bonics, remember me?
Yes. Well, throughout the hunt, Darren asked me several questions to go on the show, so he was recording. And then we talked kind of just about school and other stuff that was going on, because we had a lot of, you know, downtime sitting there. So we had some pretty good conversations in the deer stand.
And did you?
Yes.
You want to do his job when he retires?
I'll consider it.
Because she's pretty good, Darren. Yeah. So we have a Texan, and you guys know who Texas is in. Hey, this is the tire guy. Feed more deer. You know who I'm talking about?
That's got to be mad.
He got her. So, yep, it's him. It's the tire guy from Blair.
Hey, Matt, I've still got two flat. You're behind.
Anyway, so this is a big family spreading all the way from Pack Saddle all the way to Blair, Oklahoma, all the way over to Hobart. A lot of people, everybody knows each other around here, and it's a wonderful thing about the agriculture community. Some good, some bad. I'm not saying it's all good, but, you know, it's just like the tire guy. I don't call him by his name. I call him the tire guy because he's one of my avid listeners on here, and I'm surprised. I was trying to get you to say hunting from the truck all ago because Lieutenant James always listens to the show.
Oh, no, I don't hunt from the truck.
Anyway, I wouldn't throw you on the bus that hard. But anyway, so how exciting was that to be filmed and hunt? Did it change? Well, obviously you got a deer, so you weren't nervous. You're not a nervous person anymore.
Oh, no, I was a little nervous when I pulled the trigger, not going to lie.
But was that because of the filming or was it buck fever?
I feel like it was the filming. Yes. I was just, there was this thought going through my mind, what if I miss? On camera. That was what was going through my mind.
I guess that would be a pretty good thought.
I think we need to give Darren a little credit too, because that guy has been he was a trooper through this deal. I wouldn't have sat in the blind with her for 5 hours that morning. We'd have went home at probably about 8:30, and he sat from. I dropped him off at 5:30, and I picked him up at 11:15, and went to 8:00. And I think he was actually going to go home after that morning, and they'd seen that deer, and he come up with the deal that I'm going to hang around. And I said something about going back at 4:00, and Darren's like, oh, no, we need to be over by 3:00. Well, she went in the house and took a nap. I think Darren may have caught him a little
power nap
on the back porch, but he was sure a trooper, and we've made a friend for life now, so we appreciate him.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him. I've never got to meet him till this morning, and you got to be a trooper like him to do what he does. I mean, there's no telling what you're going to get into. What do you think? Do you you got a story, Darren? You got a story on Darren?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, Darren came out and filmed a turkey hunt. Me and a guy from NWTF turkey hunting on Black Kettle. And I had meetings for like 2 weeks, just hooked up, couldn't scout anything. And so it was a true public land, show up blind, go hunt kind of a deal, turkey hunt. And we bounced around about 6 or 7 different units, hiked all over the place. And Darren had probably the world's largest camera. Thing looked like it weighed 200 pounds on his shoulder. Right there with us the whole time. And, you know, just to give credit to Darren on how well he does his job and how serious he takes it and stuff. But we walked him to death. I forgot to turn around and look and see him dragging that camera behind him.
Yeah, because I bet you guys at Black Kettle, I bet there's no plum thick as his.
Oh, you know, it's real flat.
Yeah, it's all flat, just grass.
You know, but, it's a good deal. That camera does make you nervous. You know, I had that turkey pretty close, and the same thing like Jancy's saying, what if I miss this thing?
It's going to be on film.
It adds to that, mm-hmm. Being a little nervous. It's cool, though.
Darren, do you got a collection of bloopers?
We do. We have a large collection of bloopers, not only from our talent to all sorts of stuff. We call it C-roll. You know, you got your A-roll, which is what you want, your good audio. You got B-roll, which is your cover video. But then you got C-roll, stuff you want to look at later behind the scenes and not let the general public
see. So do you guys ever have a blooper show?
Oh, every once in a while, we'll put some bloopers on.
Oh, especially cool.
With our host of our show, where he messes up. He always looks really good on camera, but it's because we edit all the bad takes out.
Is he like Bill Dance?
Yeah, like Bill Dance.
Bill Dance has the best bloopers. I mean, that guy.
Well, I have to be nice to Darren because I'm sure I've got some.
Yeah. Well, you guys are just joining us. We are live on Facebook, streaming live. We got the KECO app that you can get that you can open up, or KECO online at KECOFM.com. And then we have the Paragon app that you can download on your phone, listen to the show live, or you can go back and listen to it later. But anyway, we are streaming live on Facebook. I have Gary on camera today, and this is a rare deal. And I want him to come back, so I'm not giving him too much crap on it. Plus, even if he is older than me, he still whoop my butt. And because I always tell him when I grow up, I want to be just like him. he's 74.
Pretty soon.
That's what I was thinking. And he goes 100 miles an hour. He jumps on and off those peanut trailers like me. I back the truck up and I get on them. He just jumps up on the ladder and goes. But anyway, it's great being around them. Well, we're going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to have the Long Ranger forecast for you. And we're going to finish up the interview with the Ripitoe family and the Oklahoma Wildlife Department. We'll be right back after this.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what Advanced Technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley Icon X. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting the second annual Ag Tech Open Invitational this January 15th. Be at the Western Equipment John Deere dealership in Plainview, Texas for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $25,000 in prizes. This competition is for any high school junior or senior that has an interest in mechanics, agriculture, or who just wants to win prizes. Parents and teachers don't feel left out. There will be a career expo to learn all about Western Equipment and job opportunities to pursue within the company. There are limited spots, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, December 14th. We sold 1,069 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, December 16th, we sold 2,674 kids and feeders for a total of 3,743 cattle for the week. We will be closed for 2 weeks. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th. Tuesday, better killing cows brought 69 to 782. Then cows bring 40 up to 59.5. Bulls bring 60 to 95. 2 day year old bred cows, 885 to 1085, with a 2 to 4 year old pairs bringing 1550. 100 steer cattle, 11 steers weighing 284, bring 232. 3 to 350 steers, $2 to 230. 19 steers weighing 405, bring 235. 450 to 5 weights, 178.50 to 206. 6 to 650, 148 to 168. 7 to 750, 142 to 158. 8 to 850, 145 to 158 and a quarter. 9 to 950, 148 to 152. And 42 steers weighing 1,001, bring 145.50. On our heifers, 7 heifers weighing 230, bring 230. 3 to 350, 168 to 208. 4 to 450, 157 to 170. 5 to 550, 138 to 152. 6 to 650, 135 to 146.5. 7 to 750, 141 to 145.50. And 8 to 850, 147.50 to 148. And 9 heifers weighing 918, bring 130. Again, this is our last sale for this year. We definitely appreciate your business. We hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th, Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Currently 58 degrees, winds out of the southwest at 14 miles an hour. Today, it's supposed to get up to 64. Tonight, big north wind hit sometime tonight, 21 miles an hour with gust up to over 30 tonight. So button stuff down tonight, big wind coming in. Saturday, tomorrow, high near 45 with north winds getting it all day. Finally decreasing in the afternoon. Tomorrow night is going to be cold. 17 degrees now. And it was 20 yesterday at 17 for low. So empty the water hoses and check the antifreeze because this is one of those nights you're going to have to. Sunday, high near 48 with light wind. It starts warming back up. Monday, 55. Tuesday, 55. Here we go again. Wednesday, getting close to Christmas, and I don't see a white Christmas in the forecast because our temperatures are going to be in the 60s, so it's going to be pretty nice towards the end of next week. And guys, no good news. No moisture in the forecast. So sorry to tell you that. But anyway, we're going to finish up our interview with Chad Gary, Jancy Ripetoe, and Marcus Thibodeau with Oklahoma Wildlife Department. Marcus, thank you so much for doing this with Jancy.
Oh, no, thank them. They're the ones that, you know, provide these opportunities to these kids, and they benefit from it on their farming and ranching side, and it's all the thanks goes to them. I just, the guy that got Darren hooked into this deal, so.
Right, and then Jancy, you'll probably remember this forever, won't you?
Yes, I will.
That's my big buck I shot on TV. If you don't believe me, here it is.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You know, we got quite a bit of good land along that river, good hunting land.
Oh,
you
know
that, everybody does.
Yep.
But ours is strictly a family deal. I mean, we don't gang commercially, all the grandkids and family members, we've kept it that way. And I don't guess any one of us has gained a dollar from it that I know of. It's strictly, and I like the wildlife, don't get me wrong. But
I know they do
damage. But like I say, we've kept it a family deal, and basically that's what it is for the kids.
Hey, and I'll verify that. I live surrounded by Gary's land, and I don't even mention it because I know what his answer is going to be. But anyway, so it's family deal. Joe and Kelly and those kids, and then you got Dustin and my brain just went dead.
Carrie.
I mean, it's a family deal.
And these guys here, you've got to have people like these two right here. And Tippadoo or whatever.
That was pretty just close. Just say French quarters.
It's pretty close, isn't it?
So. The first time I had him on the show, I was sitting there going, how do you say that? And I said it exactly like he did, but I got it down. No, it's Tippadoo.
So Jancy kills out, you know, the opening day with Darren, and then we've got Carter. which pouted.
I was wondering when he was going to get to Carter.
Oh, he was so mad.
He pouted. He was playing football in the panhandle, and he wasn't there. And I hunted about every day, but I didn't carry a gun. I carried a gun once, and that was when we went to the bluff. But finally, Paul took him down to the river, and we'd seen this deer a couple of days before, and I wouldn't let him shoot it. Well, there was two out there. Well, anyway, Carter got his deer killed, but it's still not good enough. So,
right.
But... and you know this, and this is kind of the comical part of it. You know, me and Joey's about as thick as thieves.
Right.
Come deer season, it's like Hatfield and McCoy's on who's going to kill the biggest.
Yeah, and it was going on that night when I showed up over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2 days before deer season, you meet your brother or your sister or brother-in-law on the road. You don't wave. You don't do nothing. You're like, well, where can I slip in there and figure out where that biggin's at? So,
it's a true.
It's the fact.
It's
but
a fact.
In the end, we all wind up at Joey's house to show them off and sit around and tell stories. And, you know, that's the biggest part of it because you was there. There was, what, 15 or 20 of us in the barn before we went to Ty's. So it is. It's a family affair. And we're fortunate enough that we can do that.
Yep.
And... you know, a lot of people's got OU season tickets. We're going to go drill a water well, or we're going to go deer hunting. Is what we're going to do. So
it's true fact on that deal. And Gary's, you're the cause of this.
Well, back to Carter, right quick. He and I is always. One time he took a little bitty blue girl's single shot 22 and killed a deer down there.
You're probably incriminating me.
Well, I know, but that's third time on the show.
Probably. That'll be after Carter. But this year, those two deer come out there, and the other deer was by far the best deer. But this one he shot had a split brow tine, and that's what he wanted.
Yeah, it was a nice deer.
It was a nice deer, but I wanted him to shoot the other, but he said, no, I want to shoot that one. And then the other time, first time I ever took him with a rifle, the gun hit him in the eye or something, and he was crying. Scope, I mean, he didn't even know we killed a deer until the next morning. I was trying to see if it hurt him.
That's awesome. This is why we do this, for this right here.
Yeah, no better ambassadors for the outdoors than right here.
Yeah, no better ambassadors. And then Jancy, I mean, she's my good luck charm on the show. You know, look, this wouldn't have happened if she hadn't been on the show. It might have happened, but you heard her. You called me, said, hey, you think Jancy'd want to do this on the deal? I said, more than likely, but call her dad.
We want to give a shout out to Lauren and Josh with the Wildlife Department. I mean, Darren, he's been the cameraman, but Lauren and Josh have been, you know, the backbone. What'd you say, Lauren? Lauren Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not going to be out this weekend on the hunt. She's going to be at a baby shower because I think they're expecting about like the first of the year, and I've gave her a hard time. But Josh just actually tried to call me. He ought to have his radio on, and he'll know where we're at right now. Yeah. So we'll be home in about 45 minutes or hour to get him set up. So
I have a granddaughter that liked to hunt, but a raven carrying Dustin. But the problem was she had, first one she shot with a – the rifle, the
was scope. It that Mauser?
No, it wasn't. The scope hit her in her eye and broke her nearly from the habit. But she's about to get back to going hunting, and she's a sportscaster at Abilene, Texas, on live TV.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now. Yeah. Yep. But she's, we're about to get her back before she'll go hunting.
So. Well, that one time.
Rogue and Rain. You know,
Rogers
are.
Oh, my.
Oh, Ruger. Ruger is.
He's never known anything but her.
That's all he knows. And Rain finally this year.
Yeah, she shot her a deer.
Yeah, she shot her a deer.
Jackson Jagger, since it's big enough to walk, they've come down there. And my other two grandsons and daughters. Yep. I mean, it's just a family hunting deal.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's a family deal. And I remember when we brought Zoe over to your place on the river to go look for that deer that Jared had shot, and her and Carter was there. And so they were waiting on me, and we took Zoe, and Zoe got right on the blood trail and took off. And I don't remember what it was, but she turned around, she knocked Carter backwards and told him to shut up, we're looking for a deer. And it was just like, yep. It was a good time.
And like I put in a plug for the game wardens, but they've been, Harry Steele and James is excellent, and Jeff Hedrick. Yeah. You can't beat them. I mean, they've been very, very good over anything that comes up that they need to take care of. They do it, and they're better than good. They're you can't talk good enough about them, to be honest about it.
Yeah, I went to Jeff was a year younger than me, and I went to welding school with him at Burns Flat at Votech with Jeff, and then Lieutenant James, I met him 4 or 5 years ago, and I'd hate to do anything illegal and get Lieutenant James on me, because that dude is like a bloodhound, and he still doesn't hit. There's more humor in a bottle of dry, no water in a bottle of water than him.
Hey, don't ride on him too much. He's been pretty good. I met him on the road the other day, and he was still mad about me deals.
Yeah, I did too. So he's good for us.
Honestly. Yeah, he's great. Jancy, stock show report's coming soon.
Yes.
The Oklahoma Congress starts in January.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming to Oklahoma, back to Oklahoma. Last year was the first year because of Denver and their COVID policies. They brought the stock show to Oklahoma City, and it brought $50 million into the Oklahoma City area economy. And we're all into cattle. And the Oklahoma Congress is not just a stock show for FFA and 4-H. It's for ranchers. 48 states and 3 countries represented of that deal. Ranchers and farmers bring their cattle in to show them off, their bulls, their set of heifers and cows. So keep a touch on that.
I'll try.
All right. Marcus, you done?
Well, if anybody wants to get involved in a youth hunt program like we've been talking about, they can just reach out to the Wildlife Department. Lauren, Josh, those people that work private lands for the Department of Wildlife, they'll be the ones that'll get it all squared away and everything like that. So.
And you can reach him at the headquarters.
Yeah, just call the main headquarters office, and they'll get you to where you need to be.
All right. If you ever have any questions, you can also text me in here on the KCO Ag text line. Oh, Lieutenant James responded. good old Rippetoes appreciate all they've done for wildlife and the wildlife department. There you go. He'll take it, probably what I set up later with me on the private
side.
Yeah,
you got yourself a ticket.
Nah.
Tell him not to come after Carter.
Yeah. Hey, there was this clause that we said before the show. Anything said on this show cannot be used against you. So, anyway, I got to do a big shout-out to Marcus. Because not only on social media, but at the coffee shops and everything, there's a lot of stuff going on with people managing the WMAs of Oklahoma. Oklahoma has a lot of WMA land. You know, like Texas, there's very little state land down there.
Very little opportunity.
Little opportunity. I mean, and in Oklahoma, we got, 90,000 acres probably right here between Sandy Sanders and Lugard Lake all the way up to...
More than that. I mean, I've got 60 just that I'm in.
Okay, and then you got the Black Kettle, federal lands. Well, anyway, there's a lot of ruckus going on about, you know, these guys don't take care of this. I want you to drive to Ellis County, if you're listening and you don't live around here. Drive to Ellis County WMA, drive to Pack Saddle, and this is one wildlife biologist and manager that takes care of his stuff, because there's wildlife, there's food plots out there, because during drought, you know, quail, for instance, a quail can starve to death in 7 days.
Doesn't take very long at all.
It doesn't take very long at all, and Marcus does a great job, and people from out of state ought to come see how to take care of public land. I mean, you're good.
It.
Yeah, no, you're good. I'm not saying it because you're sitting here. I'm saying it because it's true. And so, and you do everything in the world to help these kids. You're passionate about it. You came help me do a Quail Forever deal right here north of Elk on that at that water front, that dam that they were redoing with the Oklahoma Agriculture Department with Beckham County on the, what is that, North Fork of the Red River Water District. Yeah. And you came up, he was so passionate with those kids. You know, a couple of them, he just wanted to, but he stayed in there. And, we talked about it. We showed him kids that have no idea what habitat is. You know?
Yeah, just it's something that, you know, and that's why these hunts are so important. You know, talking about all these memories that they've had and the enjoying it and stuff. It's pretty new to their family, right? They said that they didn't really start killing big deer until 93, things like that. And now it's something they do every year. And to be able to introduce kids into those traditions of being outdoors in the wildlife, it goes a long ways.
Yep.
The day Jancy killed her deer, I didn't carry a gun. I was behind the house watching, and she texted me, said, hey, she got him killed. Well, I met Paul on the road. Well, he jumps out, sends Neldo on home. He goes with me, and I mean, which Darren got some footage of it, but we was fortunate enough we got to go pick the deer up.
Right.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've even got some good pictures of Darren and Jancy. So.
And I had seen that deer over there by the highway two or three times and told him he was over there, so. And they got lucky, but that's how that kind of come about. So.
Yep, and it was. It was a really nice deer. Yep.
I was happy with them.
Oh, I could tell. But you're always smiling. I don't know when anything.
I smile a lot.
Yeah, so anyway, well, you're a lucky kid to be a member of the Ripto family.
Yes, I am.
Well, that music's playing. That means that's the sound of the end of the show today. In Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5, we had Jancy, Chad, and Gary Ripto on from the Willow Carter area, and Marcus Thibodeau, wildlife manager at Pack Saddle, and Darren was back here with the Oklahoma Wildlife Department filming all this, going, how am I going to cut all this up? So anyway, so see you Monday.